Okay, so today's topic is the interaction between halacha and Kabbalah in general, and then we're going to get to specifically in the halachic works of Rabbi Ovadia, touch on some of the main concepts in his work. Okay, so just close the door. Okay, so there's a few questions you have to ask when you talk about halacha and Kabbalah. Right, first one you have to ask is, what happens, right, when halacha and Kabbalah are at odds, right? The halachic tradition tells you to do X, the Kabbalistic tradition tells you to do Y. The next level question you have to ask is, what happens when halacha tells you nothing and Kabbalah tells you to do something, right? There's a minhag which has no source in halacha and is only sourced in minhag, right? And then the third question, which is somewhere in the middle, is what happens when the simplest understanding of a sugya goes in one direction, but in theory, one can... We're out of source sheets, but share with them. But in theory, one can interpret the halachic tradition, maybe k'tab bekoshi, to accord the Kabbalistic tradition. Right? Those are basically three different levels of the question. Now, obviously, where you fall, you know, on each of these questions will be partially affected by what you think about Kabbalah in general, the specific Kabbalistic tradition you're talking about. And each of these questions, you know, has been asked, and I phrased it sort of generally, what happens when this happens with the Kabbalistic tradition and the halachic tradition? But this is one level when you're talking about the Kabbalah of the Zohar. It's another level entirely when you're talking about the Kabbalah of the Ari, right? When you're talking about, right? That's really mostly where you're talking, right? Those are like the two cutoff points. Okay, right, so that's like the background issues you have to talk about. So we're going to go through is some of the main positions. First, the Zohar, then the Ari. Show how Poskim in general take it, how Rav Ovadia takes it, and I will give it away before we get there. One of the things that you will see is that, in general, the Ashkenazi tradition, writ large, does what? If you had to guess... Right, halacha we follow, Kabbalah pachot mishuchna, right? Not 100% clear, but pretty clear, right? We'll see some very sharp formulations to this effect later. The writ large, and I'm going to use this term very dangerously, Sephardi tradition, and I hate saying that because it's much more complicated than that, but the Sephardi tradition does what? Is more likely to incorporate, bend to Kabbalah, but obviously within the Sephardi tradition, right, we're talking, there's Sephardi, there's Mizrach, right, Yehuda Mizrach, there's differences within, right, the Halabi community and the Iraqi community and the Persian community and the Taimani community and the Moroccan community, right, they all have their own approaches and we'll have to deal with it. Ovadia is going to fall where? More Ashkenazi, right? We're gonna see, and that's one of the big chiddushim of Ovadia, sort of in modern Sephardi psak. Yeah, Reuven.
Isn't the Sephardi tradition that way just because like it's developed the way as a tradition, or does it come almost exclusively from the fact that Rabbi Yosef happened to be a Kabbalist?
It comes not pretty much at all from the fact that the Rabbi Yosef is a Kabbalist. It comes from the fact that Ben Ishchai and the Chida were dominant poskim in the last few hundred years. Beis Yosef, much less likely, because Beis Yosef is a much more attenuated position. But, okay. So, to do the two positions, the two extremes, and here we're going to talk about Zohar. So, first we have the position of the Masas Binyamin. This is also found in the Shut Beis Dino Shel Shlomo. If anyone has heard of that sefer, I clearly read it every day. It is he was a Rosh Av Beis Din in, according to the front, Rosh Av Beit Din be Aram Tzova Chalab. Okay? And then the Michtav Lechizkio, who is the Shtechemet. Right? Good Sephardi tradition says, Haderech HaSheini, Leilech Acharov Minyan Ubinyan. Right? In general, right, you go after Rov Shitos. Harei lefanecha sefer haZohar shehu shakul yoser mikol hamechabrim. But when you talk about Rov, there's a caveat. The Zohar equals everybody, right? Mishnah and Pekevas, right? Elazar ben Horkanos, Elazar ben Arach outweigh all the Chacham in the world. That's the Zohar. Sheachar chasimas haTalmud, right? After the Gemara, he's it. V'im yukol hamechabrim bekaf mazayim achas. Sefer Hazor Livado, Ya'aleh HaKaf Shnia, Machria et Kulam. Right? Zohar on one side, all poskim since the Gemara on the other side, Zohar wins. Varehu Adif Merov Minyan Ubinyan Kemosha Kazav Lidin Vasar Daza Zohar Neged Shar Hamechabrim. Not really the Beis Yosef, but fine. And obviously, if you happen to have people support the Zohar, like in our case, the case he's talking about, forget what it is. Right? So we have a good Sephardi tradition, right? When it comes to Zohar, Rov Minyan, Rov Binyan falls apart, collapses. Zohar outweighs all of them. This is Masas Binyamin, Shub Beis Dinu Shoshana. These are Sephardi poskim. Masas Binyamin, I don't think actually is. But Beis Dinu, I'm not sure. Beis Dinu Shoshana definitely is Chalab, right? Mechtav L'Chazkiyah is the Stei Chemed. Sephardi, there we go. On the other extreme, Shuk, Sam Sofer, his Oros L'Tshuva, who's Rav Shimon Sofer, his grandson. Other extreme, and says, Yadana, or Yadana. Right, don't challenge our minhagim. You have to keep our minhagim. Anyone who challenges minhagim is a shaykhit, blah, 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 blah. The yas, you have a cause of ashkenek, shavi, michdeve, ari, chadav, alav. Amnalamilo, avo, yafediver. Right, and he said, and it's good, therefore, that you challenge here, you know, you don't let the Ari challenge the Minag. V'chein ani omer, kol hama'arev divrei kabbalah im halachas apsukos, chayev mishum zorea kilayim, pentuk dashem laya azer asher tizra. Right, anyone who mixes halacha and kabbalah violates kilayim, right, shatnez, umazeh ma'arev zifrei higayon im divrei Torah over al chorei shorva chamor yachdav, and anyone who adds philosophy to Torah violates right? This is a classic Chassam Sofer, right? Don't mix philosophy, don't mix Kabbalah with Halacha. Vimhu manig Yisrael manhig bikilayim. And then if he leads Klal Yisrael, right? Lotacho shor v'chamor yachdav. You have a, right? They're leading together, so you're leading Klal Yisrael with kilayim. Right? So you got the two positions, minakatzeh lakatzeh, right? You have the sort of extreme position that you find in some, especially in the world of the Svardim, who say that Zohar, post Gemara, everything follows Zohar. He is the Rov Minyan, the Rov Binyan, the Rov everything. The other extreme, you have Chassam Sofer, Zoros Lachuva, the Ashkenazi tradition, which is no Kabbalah, Halacha, the two shall not mix. Okay? So.
Are there any examples? Like, what would be an example?
Okay. And now we move to Rav Ovadia, right? Also, he happens to be good at summarizing them. Okay, so, as you will see, Rav Ovadia will quote some of the Sephardi poskim who follow, like, actually, since I've already mixed in the Ari stuff. I'll give it away, and then we'll read Rav Ovadia here. Right? So this is the Zohar, right? Then there's a second level, which is the Ari. So, many of the Sephardi poskim, the Chidan, the Berkei Yosef, as we'll see, felt that whatever you think of the Zohar, Kal v'chomer about the Ari, because the Ari was, first of all, post-Talmudic, right? If you believe that the Zohar is Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, so he's a Tana, and it's possible we don't paskin like the Tana, right? We don't, right? Rav Shimon v'chaveiro, halach v'chaveiro, we don't always paskin like Rav Shimon in the Gemara, right? So even if Rav Shimon Bar Yochai wrote the Zohar, it doesn't mean we paskin like him. But the Ari is post-Talmudic, and if he still paskins like it, he was a Navi and a Chacham, and everything, and he knew everything, and he was smarter than everyone, and Eliyahu revealed himself, and therefore, even if you don't think that the Zohar, once you have the Ari, if he says something, it's, well, that's the final word. Right, so this is the Sephardi tradition, you know, based on like the Ben Ish Chai and the Chida. Okay, so you have first level of Zohar, second level of the Ari, right, people fall in different places in each of them, but let's see what Ravadi does to it, and he summarized the issue. So he says, first issue we're going to talk about is, well, he's going to mix a few of them in, but we'll see. He's going to talk about one is, if you're in the middle of davening and you answer Kaddish, do you say until, right, Men Yesh Me'abba, until the end of the sentence, or do you say, if you ever heard, right, real Svardim, they say like the next 20 words, right? Barach, Revech, Vatzala, blah, 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 and everybody answers this, right? Okay? So he said, "Acharei atar lachayim hashalom." That which I said, "Shomid be'emtzei kriyas shema v'rchosel." That I said all you should do is until the end of the sentence, right? Just amen yishmei rabba until yisbarach. V'lo yamshich ad amrin ba'alma. And you shouldn't go all the way down to ad amrin ba'alma. Can reading gutamid al pi arizal, which is the minagari. V'samachti in what goes to burn Beis Yosef, and I paskin like the Beis Yosef. B'shem Rabbeinu Hagadol Mari Abuav. Because in general, the Beis Yosef says, look, there's no problem. You go 28 words, Adamim Ba'alma, to be machmer, like this Kabbalistic position, fine. But if you're in the middle of Kriyat Shema, now you have a countervailing halachic force. So then, you shouldn't. Below Yosef, Shulai Ashar, Heavy Hefsek. Umar and Beis Yosef, Hoshish, Lanat, Bekrish, Merchose, Agam, Tevi, Yisparach. Beis Yosef said, okay, not just Almaya, you should say the next word. Dizem, Medrash, Azar, Lazak, Bain, Almaya, Le Yisparach. Valze, Heir, Kavat, Taraso, Sheikh, Her, Havti, Oz, Lachria, Neged, Das, Harizal. And you said to me, and this is basically a lot of the Sephardi poskim reacted to him. A lot of the Chalabi poskim reacted very strongly to Rav Avadya's poskening like the Beis Yosef, against the Arizal. Right, if you want to read this at length in a painfully long shufa, you can read in the Shut Yitzchak Yiranein of one of the chief rabbis, Svardi something, whatever, Shuva Yud Dalid, where it's just Tkuvot Le Marenu Arishon Litzion, blah, 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 on this point. And also, you know, there's 130 pages in this book, if you would like to see everything about it. Okay. He's also the first speaker tomorrow. It's going to be very exciting. Kimavur, Vishar Kavanos. Fine. So he said, how can I go against the Ari? And now he quotes the Sephardi tradition. Ukar kasavaran chida b'rekei Yosef. Sha'av shekibal nehora o'raz maran. Even though we normally pass on like Shulchan Aruch. Shabazuk shein levarech hanosin le'ev koach. Now this is a second example, right? For examples. One is this Kaddish issue. The second big issue, which Rav Avadya is like five juvas on, it's Hanosin Layayev Koach, right? In the Gemara, where you list all the brachos in the morning, is Hanosin Layayev Koach there? No, at all, right? The Ari says you should say it. Now, who else says you should say it? Artskol, great. Why does Artskol say it? Since we all daf in Nusach Ari. Because who else says it? Hint. What? Drama, right? Based on all Chachmei Ashkenaz. The Chachmei Ashkenaz has the Masorah. Svardim didn't, right? It was Ashkenazim had the Masorah to say it. Svardim didn't until the Ari. So in that context, the Chida says that Kimlan, She'ilu Mara Ra'a Maran Das Kadosh HaArizal, if the Beis Yosef had seen the Ari, Gam Hu Yodeh She'esh Levarcha, he would also have said the Bracha. V'chein Nispashir Aminek V'glilo Seinu. And that is the minak. Uma gam shekneses agdola kozev shemoran chozer bo mizevisov yamav. And then there was a Sephardi tradition, right? This is a clever halachic move. Right? What do you do if you say, I paskin always like the Beis Yosef and the Beis Yosef didn't agree? Well, no, that was the first move. The second move is, he did agree mizevisov yamav. Right? The Knesset Gdola said, oh, he also had a Masorah. That the Beis Yosef changed his mind at the end of the day and followed the Ari and everything. That's the chida. V'donmina, etc. Right? L'mashu tzarech l'madam r'balma. And therefore, here also, damir balma, you should say the Beis Yosef would give in to the Ari. V'chein pasak v'ben ishchai. Shukdivei Ari is al ikar. And the Ben Ishchai also paskins that. V'lachein, gam b'kriyash ma'i v'chazech z'an l'ach adam r'balma. D'lo kamaran zal ad kantoch in varav. Right? So now, he sets up the tradition, the Sephardi tradition, that you follow the Ari, even against the Beis Yosef, because he was smarter. If the Beis Yosef had known what he said, he would have agreed. Maybe he actually did agree. And what?
How could it be that the Beis Yosef didn't know what the Ari said? They lived at the same time in the same place.
For 4 years.
First of all, for 2 years. But Ruvain, do you know everything that I've ever said?
No, I was assuming if you're there for long enough, you see what.
2 years. The Ari lived in Israel for 2 years, two and a half. Sach HaKol. And do you know how much we have written from the Ari? Virtually nothing. It comes from Chaim Vital. It's actually pretty easy not to know anything the Ari said, including if you lived at the time of the Ari. In fact, no one's quite clear that we know anything the Ari said, right? We know what Rav Chaim Vital said the Ari said, and his Talmidim who said that that's not what the Ari said. But they hated each other, so all his students hated each other, so they all say no one else knew what he was talking about, right? So we're not doing very well in this. It's very possible, okay? So this is, right, he sets up Svardi tradition, right? Ari, 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 doesn't matter. And he responds, V'hinini l'hashiv kib emes lo nichad mimeni divrei Arizal anal. I'll tell you the truth. I read the Ari, right? That I believe. And not only that, I quoted all the people who follow him, right? The Ben Ishchai, the Kafachayim. Ulam Adaraba, Beit Ozecha Negin Malachim Loevosh. But doesn't matter. Even if I'm speaking against the king, or if I'm speaking the word of God, meaning the halacha as brought down by the Beis Yosef, I will not be embarrassed, and I will challenge the king. So, right, so Rav Avadya sets up his methodology very clearly. Halacha is halacha is halacha. We follow the Beis Yosef. I don't care if the Ari is the Melech. Shema'acha Shirov Aposkim Rishonim Svirlei Desayilan Estamid Adla Me'amaya. Once the Rishonim Paskin differently, the Beis Yosef Paskin differently, I will challenge the Svardi Mesorah. Mayam, Rav Sadi, and he quotes, look at all these people who challenge it. Rav Sadi, Gon Ramron, Gon Rashi, Tzev Rapar, Tzev Maksavitri, Rambam, Tosus, Rajbor, Chuschayim, Aradar, Rivab, etc. Lochain, Sadak, Ma'omar, and Ves Yosef, Bevil, Alacha, Devei, Rabbeinu, Agadam, Ari, Abuav, Sheish, Lochosh, Mishum, Hevzik, Shalol, Tzorch, Bekriyash, Mavir, Chosea, Valkor, the Gyan, Iraq, Ad, Olmaya, O, Ad, Yisbarach, Lissu, Lo, Lochain, Kosev, Laga, Magen Avram, Eliyahu Rabba, Machzor Shekel, etc. V'nishanti b'zal Rabboseinu ha'achronim shoyer lahem yad v'sam gam bechokhmas yad v'shem gam bechokhmas hakabala v'im kol zeh pasku shekriyeh shma v'chose lo yana kano gadim rin ba'alma elo ad yisbarach. And I followed the achronim who, even though they knew halacha and kabbalah, they followed halacha. Mehem, Agon Rav Yaakov Algazi, etc., etc., etc. Ata Hare Saladas, right, this is after the ellipsis. Ata Hare Saladas, Lemim Mechen Rabim, and Yosem, Rabbanah, Mekubalim. Nagy of Pshidus, Bezekadas, Mar Meis Yosef, Efter Sirle, Sha'af Hare Yode, Shem Omid, Bekrishon, Chazel, Yavzik, Yosem, Eker, Achiv, Shad Yisparach, and maybe even the Ari would agree to me, Kevin Joseph, Bishop, Choshol Makom, Ve'alko Panam, Kolar, Chonam, Anal, Yadu, Bevadim, Divrei, Rabbeinu, Harizal, Vim Goze, Paskuk, Masha, Kosav, Nilo, Shavkin, Lecha, Poskam, Anal, right? So if we had to capture the issue here, right, like we said, we have one camp who says everything bows to the Zohar. Not only does it bow to the Zohar, it even more so bows to the Ari. This is the Mesorah in general of much of the Eduta Mizrach. And this is one of the key arguments of Mordechai Leo, for example, with Rav Ovadia. Rav Ovadia follows more of the Ashkenazi tradition, which is that halacha and Kabbalah, they do not mix. Under normal circumstances, we follow halacha and not Kabbalah. Now, what really drove Rav Ovadia? So, a few things, right? One, and you'll hear a lot about this tomorrow, is that one of the things that drove Rav Ovadia is that who paskin against the Ari in this case, in all these cases? Beis Yosef. Right? Pillar one of Rav Ovadia's psak is Beis Yosef. It's paskin like Beis Yosef. Now, who does he think has to paskin like Beis Yosef?
Everyone.
People in Eretz Yisrael. Svardim. Ashkenazim are allowed to be mistaken in paskin like the Ramah. Right? That's his basic position. But Svardim have to paskin like the Beis Yosef. Now, what's the problem with what I just said? What? There's no such thing as this Svardim, right? You know, Vadya, you should realize, basically invented this concept of like a pan-Svardic culture, right? Because while it's true there are certain segments of the Svardic world that paskin like the Beis Yosef, right? Eduta Mizrach and other Svardim are different. Even within Eduta Mizrach, they have very different menhagim, right? This notion that there's, it's the same with like Hasidim, right? The notion that there are Hasidim, and then when Hasidim there are sects, right, if you ask Hasidim, they won't agree to this. Right? They are Vizhnitz. They are Papa, they are Satmar, right? They're not Hasidim first and then Vishnitz. They are Vishnitz or Hasidim, right? They have their own Minhagim, right? If you ask a Yeki, he won't tell you that he's Ashkenazi and Yekim have their own Minhagim, which are not like generic Ashkenaz or whatever, right? It's sort of a farce when we talk about Ashkenaz Svart as like the two segments of the Jewish world, right? There's many, many breakdowns in the middle. Ravadia wanted to, and this is a phrase you will hear tomorrow, right? I'm going to try to throw these in, which was lehavzir atara liyoshna, right? Return the crown to its place, the glory to its place of Svarti culture. And the way he did that was he wanted to unify Svarti culture behind the Beis Yosef, which meant he wanted to quash all other voices in this sort of pan-Svarti culture, right? So Reb Ovadia's method in Psak, right, it's not just that he happens to follow more the Ashkenazi mode of paskening by saying, you know, halacha gets precedence over Kabbalah. He's following the Beis Yosef, and in so doing, he's trying to create one Svarti culture. In order to do that, he has to quash the Kabbalistic voices. So this is a lot of what we're going to hear tomorrow, which is Lahazir Atara Liyashna. This is, in fact, I believe, the title of the first lecture tomorrow, if any allows. Yes? It's also a chapter in his book, right? You can go read this. I'm sure it'll be on sale again tomorrow for 45 shekels, as it was when I bought it, right? This, by the way, is very funny. The original one is a lavender, and the soft cover new one has a bright picture of Rabbi Ovadia with, like, all the paparazzi around him and bright colors. This is the hardcover one. Very simply, I think, so that this one can be sold to frum people who want this on their bookshelf, right? And then, like, all the popular people who don't care if the book looks frum, it looks, like, all colorful. I'm pretty sure this is why it's a brilliant marketing strategy. It's great. It's incredible. Also, it's actually I think it's Yedir Acharnot. And if you see here, it says Misora La'am, right? Anyways, okay. He's quite brilliant. Good. So, now, the problem is, obviously, that okay, assuming that's the case, we're assuming we're going to Lahachzir Torah Liyoshna. So let's look for a moment what the Beis Yosef actually holds, right? Because so far I've set up the two models, or the two extremes, which is we always follow Kabbalah, we don't follow it at all, right? The middle positions are you follow Kabbalah if it doesn't go against Halacha, or you try to reinterpret Halacha if it all can be aligned with Kabbalah, right? Those are the two middle positions. So let's just see them inside. So if you remember from the first week, we read a little bit of Akdama of the Beis Yosef. I won't read inside, but the Beis Yosef quotes all the Svarim that he's going to use for his Psak. And what's the last one? Right? Last four words. Ubimiksas Mekomos Mamaria Zohar. Right? The Zohar is one of his books that he brings in. Right? So the question is, right, how much you bring in the Zohar? Right? Assuming you don't hold the two extremes, so what credence do you give to the Zohar and to the Kabbalistic principle? So if you look at the next page and a half or so, this is a tshuva which I cut down to like 1/8 of its size by Rav Eliyahu Mizrahi, the Ra'im. So here, back to Yoni's question, yet another example, right? So far we've seen Anosin Le'ayv Koach, right, which is, when we'll come back to it, the actual tshuva we were dealing with is the question of whether you should say that whole paragraph in Kaddish during Kriya Shema. The next one is and he's going to discuss a lot of them. One is going to be one that you probably didn't realize is a Kabbalistic minhag, which is repeating the three words at the end of Kriya Shema. The next one is Tzilah Nechol Moed. These are some of the big ones that come up. So, the rain. In Roy Lachriya Chakal Aldo Shalosh Tevo Shalach Kriya Shema Machzir and Afal Bishlo Nagu Kain. Should we force people to repeat the last words, three words of Kriya Shema, if they don't have that minhag? And those who say just the last three words, should we make them say even one more, right? Hachuva. That which you ask me, lo nirali lani is daiti de ain roy la chriach alze mechaven sheshum posek mikola poskim over zam lo diber baze. And so he says that very clearly. You cannot force people to follow Kabbalistic minhagim. El adiraba amru beperagein umdin. Right. In this particular case, not only did they not say you have to repeat these last three words, right, including ani Hashem Elokeichem emes. The Gemara says the opposite. Amr Rav Zira, Omer Shma Shma, Omer Modim Modim. Domi Meshad Kenosa, right? Anyone who repeats parts of Kriya Shma, we shut him up. Mezve Akar Shma, Kifla Reza Meguna, Meguna Huda Ave, Shtuki La Meshad Kenan Lay, Lokasha Hadam or Milsa Milsa, the Kafla Hadam or Psuka Psuka, the Kafle. And the Gemara said there are some cases when we shut you up and some cases where it's just disgusting. Which is which? One is is when you repeat words. One is when you repeat psukim. Upeish Rashi, teva teva, kafla meguna, have a shtuke la mashatkinan. If you repeat, so Rashi says if you repeat words, it's bad, but we don't shut you up. Lechen gaz vatosus, psuka vekafle, mashatkinoso, the mechzikos is jevashuyos. Ubahag verach mafarshi ivcha, and the rach interprets the opposite, psuka psuka, ein meshatkinah. So if you say a whole pasuk, we don't shut you up. If you say repeat a word, we do. Miyam maguna having milsa, those are meshatkinah. So the chinkas of Rambam Zal, karamila v'kafla, kagon shakar shma, shma, meshatkinah. So because of a tour, we start lechosh, leader v'shneim, v'davka im kefil kol aparsha, etc., etc. Next line, v'af alpi shabalia kabbalah k'tasa mayu medakatakim mismaratevos. But even though the Kabbalists used to count the words, they were very, very, very precise about the number of words. And therefore, they always wanted to say 248 words, and that's how they repeated the three words. They wouldn't even force other Kabbalists who didn't know about this. The Mikre, Rabbi Yehuda, Breder, Ben Chaz, Vehayed, Mishum, Rabbi Yochanan, Menuri, Shomer, Mishum, Riosi, Ben, Dermaskis, Mishmei, Rabbi Akiva. Because if it weren't for this whole complicated story that somebody heard from somebody, who heard from his father, heard from somebody, blah, 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 that he used to do this, lo, hayu machziren, they wouldn't go back. If it were something that was worth forcing, Madulo, Pirsim, Arishonim, why didn't they say it? And they, even the early Kabbalists weren't mafarsim it. Right? If you really had to say it, they should have told people, because otherwise even the Kabbalists were making mistakes. And therefore this proves this is not something you should publicize and force people. The only people who cared about these numbers were the, Chidi Skula, Bavashe, Makvidim, Alzeva, Yemachzirin, Kede Lahashim, Machesman, Machazara, Mnesha, Machavnim, Mispar, Atevos, Kede Lahashim, Mispar, Avarim, Lo, Yuchoshin, Mahid, Omer, Shma, Shma, Meshachino. So, because they cared about the number of words so much, they didn't care about repeating Shma, Shma. The Shiny Hassan, Mishim, Dain, and Yodim, Mitiva, Chazaro, Mexico, the Shirishus, of Chidi Skula, Shimachavn, Mikriasa, Machesman, Atevos, Machavn, Machazara, Sazos, Lahashim, Cheshman, Avarim, Amez, Shasham, Mishim, the Shirishus, Machzirin, Ashal, Shavit, the Hashim, Macheshbon. Because these people who were doing it for this Kabbalistic reason, so they're not doing it to make it seem like there are two gods, so there's no fundamental problem. But the rest of the world, but for people who don't understand the Kabbalistic background, it is a problem of saying Shema Shema. The Mishad can also that we've shut you up. Lo Zubal Vada, Lo Kol Davar, Davar Shalo Huskar, Lo Batamud, Lo Bavli, Lo Talmud Yerushalmi, Lo Dibur Bo HaPoskim, anything that's not discussed in Poskim, Asher Mipayim, Anu Chayim, Valeim, Anu Somchim, Kol Inyani Adas Bechlal, Eino Yichom Lachriach Bo, Afal Pi, Shabali Kabbalah Dibur Bo, Neshet Vivrayim, Einam Ela Altsad HaRemez, Shemir Ramzim, Heim Na'atzman. But you can't force anyone to keep a Kabbalistic minhag because their words are just hints and symbols. But now that we don't even, right, we're not capable of making all these, right, of thinking about all these symbolism while we're davening, and right, would it be that we would just have kavana when we daven stam?
Right,
And therefore, you can never force anybody to do this. And therefore, right, b'shtei yadayim, he says, we do not care about any Kabbalistic minhag. Now, why we do say, shem lekechem emes, it's a little bit complicated, right? There is Kabbalistic influence in our psak. Also, it has some halachas also justify it because since you're pausing and waiting for the chazan, there is a gap between Kriyashma and Emes V'yatsev or Emes V'emuna, and that you don't want to have, so we repeat the three words, so maybe it's not only Kabbalistic, maybe it has a halachic justification also, but at least you see the position that the Re'eim says, right, because Kabbalah is meant to be esoteric, it does not obligate anybody the halacha. Now he brings a few other examples. He says, V'zeon Yerlefin is Daiti, And he said, look, why shouldn't we uproot the minhag? Let's say we have a minhag not to do like the Kabbalists. Why shouldn't we follow the Kabbalists, right? He said, we don't have to, right? Because in general, we always keep the minhag. And now he gives an example. The Zohar says that you're not supposed to wear tefillin v'chol ha'moed. Uman d'manach lehu matchi chusma d'malki lo d'sharon alam b'gei. I don't know what any of that means. And anyone who puts on tefillin and v'chol ha'moed does something like cuts off God's tefillin from something, something, something. I do not understand this passage in the Zohar. I have tried it many times. I really don't know what's going on. The Herich was a Rav, Kamo Shekosevim, Kol Zed Lamatzino, Aposkim, Asru Zed, Mitzadav Yerushim, Renu Chai. And the Poskim do not Poskim this way. V'arash HaMenicham V'arach Aleim. And the Rosh would wear tefillin on Chol Moed, make a bracha, V'ein Savik Sharash, V'chayotzibo, Mayadana, V'lo Yoda, Agam, Kol Raz, Lo Honestly, V'chein, Habosei al Roshe am Kodesh Lachlok al Emes Lakaim Devei Tvara Poretz Gidro Shal Olam Roy Liyatsu Shal Lachlok al Ram Zerin Lefiyaz Daiti. Anyone who challenges him based on Kabbalah is going against the Rush, and this is a horrible thing. And then in the next one, he just says again, "Halo Tov Emunah Ki Kabbalah Hi Chachma Rama Yuma Kuding Dalod Bas Yisrei Torah Liyodei Pesher Davar Umenei Barei Tov Tuv Tam Vedas Maskilim Amazirim Gezor Rakia." Right, Kabbalah is great, it's deep, it's important. Ahmad Zenu is a Efes Hamada Zeb is Israel Torah Nel Mumene Kol Razlo Yoda Endo Sher Achachman and Zgava Kazos. But nowadays no one understands it. We call Machsa Bagari Karlo Me Nezeva Sakana Chalak Rav Chozeb Zeb Ziranu, etc., etc. But, right, and you can read the rest of it. It's by the fact that Kabbalah is all wonderful, it's beyond me, and I can't force anybody to do it. Right? Okay. Right? So you have the position of the Re'eim of Rav Elazar Mizrahi, that even though Kabbalah is in theory valuable, we don't follow it la'alacha because it's not meant to be followed as normal practice, it's esoteric, whatever. But Baz, on the other hand, and this is the position that's really taken by the Beis Yosef, and this is on the case of wearing tefillin chol ha'moed, actually the question wasn't about that, but he touches on it, it's actually taking off the tefillin after halal before musaf, like we did today, said tshuva, it's not found any posek. It's in Sefer Elkanah. Even though they don't know why, but since people see the Kabbalists do it, they follow it. But he explained it. Once I read in the Sefer, I did follow it. And I have a rule about this, that anything that's in the Gemara or the Poskim against Kabbalah, I follow it. And I'm not worried about the Kabbalah. But if Kabbalah is more machmir, so then I'll follow it. Because it can't hurt. If they're more mekil, so then I follow the poskim. V'tamol shel davar lo ra'isi v'lo svo. And then you'll tell me, you'll tell me you shouldn't take off your tefillin after halal before Mosaf because you're supposed to wear tefillin really all day. Halokasha. That's not a problem. If in general we did wear tefillin all day, Shapir, comrade, you'd be right. But since we don't wear it all day because you need a clean body, so once we don't wear it all day, any light reason will be enough to take them off. And even if you had no reason after, right after davening, you have to take it off. And therefore it's worth taking, right, following the Sefer Kabbalah and taking it off 15 minutes earlier. I don't force someone. And then he gives a svara, maybe because Rosh Chodesh is sort of like Yom Tov, then in Musaf, which is the tefillah, which right represents the day, so maybe you should make a heker and you should take off the tefillin, and tefillin or keter, and you already say keter and Musaf. So then he gives a svara, but the basic principle of the Radbaz is that if halacha and Kabbalah collide, then you follow halacha. If they don't collide, then l'chorma, you follow the Kabbalah. It doesn't hurt, but you don't follow it l'kula. Okay, if you continue the next source, the Ramami Fanau says, and this is again about the tefillin and chalamoid, he says, v'lanu, Pears nifrad beveir dar malalo. I have another explanation. Shikar zachu barabim migal amukot amedrash ne'elam. Many people now have the Zohar. Amedrash ne'elam is part of the Zohar. Shem bidvarim nimamzeh avshar slios. Av lo timan v'lo charoz. L'rachi ha'leiva. K'mo shechav zol asenu. Shari le'imari. V'agon over the set, etc. Elatoros chesev emet l'chacham leiv amitzkoch. Shikol sasun razim lo amamu. V'kosh yudivar ha'gemara sovlim peirushim shonim. Right, so first he praises the Zohar and he says, and once that's true, any time the Gemara can handle a different interpretation, v'yisbara echad mehem alpia Zohar, and you can follow the Zohar for one of them. Chayavim anu lahatos lebavenu elav lasos alpia raso. Whenever you possibly can follow the Kabbalah and read it into the Gemara, that's what you do. Hareish shenim Gemara yatzur shabbos v'yom tomim shein atzman os v'lo yadanim chol shemod v'chlal alo. And since in the Gemara it's not entirely clear, right, whether Chol HaMoed is Yom Tov or not, because Eish Benu Azor Deisi B'Chlal, and from the Zohar it's clear that it is. So then Lo Yikelu Amru Rashi Oechad Negolim Mefarshim Gemara Milo Tzaitinan Leivim Yachal Gadara Mishayim Mefarshim Mefarshim Omen Negolim Kol Shidvul Lashon Gemara Yidche Kol Zolim Mevnei Her Zohar Me'atim Odom Azor Mishma Torah Ve'Evis Baruch Bavo Lemer Shazor Lomar Kach. And anyone who challenges the Zohar and doesn't follow it when he can follow the Gemara, right, he insults him, he curses them, whatever. And anyone who challenges the Zohar is insulting Chol HaMoed because you're saying that it has no Kedusha of Yom Tov. Okay. So we have the originally we saw the people who, right, the two extremes, who say either you always follow Kabbalah or you never follow Kabbalah. And then we have the positions in the middle, where you have the Radbaz who says, if Kabbalah doesn't contradict Halacha, you follow it. If it contradicts, obviously you don't. The Ramami Fana goes farther and says that you push the Gemara, right, the Gemara to be interpreted in line with the Zohar. If you can't, you can't. But you do push it and then favor Pshatim based on that. If you look at the next one, this is the Shelas Yaivitz, Rago Emdin. He says, Amnam Dafka Bofen Zek Shein on the Lindos Mimisha Al Machlokes. Vinan Chol Mahashu Vinan Talmud Kubalim. Again, he says, if there's a direct contradiction, you follow Halacha Na Kabbalah. Shal Kachinot Shechem Az Lahaksim Golochus Kazoji Lashem Shemaim Shesofa Liskayim. Vinan Kazayin Tzavik Shigam Balazor Asma the Rav Gufrei. Lo Asam Isaac Kedvarav. And he, right, adds that even the Zohar didn't follow Paskin like himself, because we right in the time of the Tanaim they Paskin against Rav Shimon bar Yochai. Kimavur b'mekomos Rabbi b'Talmud ve'Einzar Larach v'Zev Yedua she'ein ani nasefer Hakadosh Hu Rak Levar Daito Al Piyasod. It was just explaining his position on Pi Kabbalah. V'lo Lekva Alach Malkom Shachon Lav Chaverav. But Masha'ein Kain Malkom Shadivrei Talmud Stumim Mechasumim V'Solvim Perushim Shonim. But when the Gemara can be interpreted in different ways, and then the Mepharshim tried to understand, but didn't know the Zohar. But now we were Zohan have the Zohar Mepharsh Perish Achim Deber Gemara, and he interprets the Gemara differently. And he's not arguing the Gemara, he's just interpreting it. Why should it be worse? Versus Rabbi Zibri Kabbalah, just because it's Kabbalah, we're going to push it away. He's just instead an early Rishon. Forget that he's right. He's an early position. Even if he's not Kabbalah. If it doesn't argue, then you follow the Zohar like the Radbaz, etc. And if there's a way of interpreting it to say that the Kabbalists don't argue, then you follow the Zohar. Etc. Okay. So now just to look at the Beis Yosef in the Mishneh Berurah, right? This is again the Chol HaMoed case. The Beis Yosef says, right, he quotes that there's a machlokas in general, before we talk about the Zohar, whether you're supposed to wear tefillin Chol HaMoed or not. The Gaonim said you don't wear tefillin Chol HaMoed. The Rosh said you did. People used to wear tefillin, and then they saw the Zohar. Since there was a machlokes, and now we know that the Zohar is Oser, who is going to go against the Zohar? And this is also in the Mishneh Berurah. This is by another halacha on tefillin. We'll get into it. She's just looking down four lines. Okay. So let's just summarize what we have till now, and then I'll talk a little bit more about Rav Ovadia, and then we will wrap up. Okay, so, the range of positions, right? You have the people who say Kabbalah has nothing to do with halacha whatsoever, right? The full extreme of it is even if you can work it out with the Gemara, right? The Zohar, the Ari, they just don't count in the halachic discourse. As valuable as Kabbalah might be, or isn't, whether you're a rationalist or not, it doesn't have anything to do with halacha, right? As you saw in the Chassam Sofer, that's nothing to do with being a rationalist. Or he values the Zohar, he rejects both Zohar and philosophy, right? Anything which is not halacha is not halacha, is not halacha, it's kilayim. And that was sort of the earlier Ashkenazi extreme view. The other extreme, you have the poskim who say, we always follow the Zohar, unless it mamish goes against the Gemara. And in the Svardi world, we always follow the Ari. And if you look through their tshuvos, they'll say not just because it's Kabbalah, because he was a bigger chacham, a Gili Eliyahu, etc. In the middle, you have the positions that say, look, fundamentally we follow the halacha, but then either if halacha is neutral, then we follow Kabbalah, and if, even more, perhaps even if you can find a way to interpret the halacha in line with the Kabbalah, you do that. So those are the middle positions. The Beis Yosef seems to follow one of the middle positions, which is we don't reject Kabbalah straight out, but right, we take it into account, but if it goes against the halacha, so then we don't follow it. But if either halacha doesn't speak about it, or there's a machlokes, and the Zohar can weigh in, so then we allow Kabbalah to weigh in. Right, so those are sort of the range of positions. Now, the traditional Sfardi position, the Birkei Yosef, or the Chidah, the Ben Ishchai, that whole world of Yehudah Mizrach, traditionally follow the more extreme Kabbalistic-oriented positions. Rav Ovadia did not. Rav Ovadia follows much more of an Ashkenazi position and rejects halacha except when it doesn't go against halacha or it can be reinterpreted, basically when the Beis Yosef did it, right? So one of the big pillars of Rav Ovadia's psak is this. Now, it's often in Rav Avadya's psak, it's not just that he thinks that halacha shouldn't be mixed with Kabbalah, right? His line is Ein lanu esek benistarot, right? Or he quotes the Chasam Sofer, right? It's kilayim. More than that, he follows basically the Beis Yosef's position. The Beis Yosef's position is much more tame. And while it takes the word seriously, it doesn't allow it to push against halacha. And he thinks you should follow the Beis Yosef, and he thinks that all Svardim should follow the Beis Yosef because, and again, this is one of the other Yesodas of his psak, which is Lachzer Atar Aliyashna, right, to bring back the world of the Beis Yosef, to bring back a pan Svardi psak. Problem is, sometimes those things are in conflict. Because, as we've mentioned, right, the very, very heavy constituency in the Svardi world follows the more extreme views of the Ben Yishchai and the Chida. So what's going to happen if Rav Avadya is very, 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 very much behind his no Kabbalah or minimal Kabbalah and Halacha position? What's it going to do to his other goal of Lachzir Atar Aliyashna? It's not going to work, right? He's not going to win every battle. So one of the things that Ben Ilau points out in his book is that sometimes Rav Avadya's conviction that he should always follow the Beis Yosef was overcome by his conviction that you needed one Svardi Psak. And if he thought you couldn't win the battle on the plane of the Beis Yosef, he found a way of justifying the Kabbalistic Minog. That, for example, is by the Bracha of Anosin Layev Koach, which is the last source here. So he says, "V'hine b'makom sh'rabbanim mekubalim shom hefech das haposkim lo yotzei hadavar midei machlokes v'mishluv gavalim kaposkim." He quotes everything he says when there's machlokes halacha and Kabbalah, and then quotes all the people he did before that he doesn't think you're supposed to follow Kabbalah. But Ivra she'achshav nagu hakol avarach berachas hanosin leyav koach. But now everyone does say hanosin leyav koach, right? Whether they follow the Kabbalah or not. And you don't have to say that the reason they do it is because of the Ari. It is, but you don't have to say that. Why? The Ashkenazim also say it. Even though the Ashkenazim don't follow Kabbalah. So you must say that since it was in the Rishonim, you have to say one of two things. So then you have to say that either the Ashkenazi Rishonim had that Gersa in the Gemara, or that there was a Takanos Gaonim, and since minog can be machrin, a machlokes v'chashinan, v'lekanal lama yigra kan sh'afari tomech v'das apos mishvei levarachosa. So why here should it lose out just because the Ari happens to hold it? V'shuv matzati gamkein lagon pesach advir shkazav v'nachri dazal yishlomar shalo kazav kein elagabi birchaz anosin apkoach v'shum sh'af maran zal chazar v'lisav yomav mashayin kein v'akom acher v'vur lehedya sh'ein divrei arizal machrin neged kol haposke. So Rav Avadya sometimes found ways of accomplishing more than one of his goals. Right here, in the case of Anosim Le'av Koch, for example, he does paskin like the Kabbalah because he knows he can't win that battle. Right, and he doesn't want to shatter the pan Svardi culture, which he's not going to win this battle. But he finds a way of justifying it because the Ashkenazim also do it, and then he can resort to classic halachic argumentation instead of the Kabbalistic ones, such as if the Ashkenazi Gaonim had it, it must be they had it in the Gemara, or it is a Takanas Gaonim. Okay. So, to chazer the issues in general, then move to Rav Avadya's things, make a few points for Rav Avadya, and then we'll be done, Mincha, etc. So, again, Halacha and Kabbalah. Mikra Din, right? Halacha is Halacha, Kabbalah is Kabbalah. And the Ashkenazi Minag has been Pachori Yoter to always follow the Halachic sources. Maybe to take sort of an attenuated Beis Yosef position, which is if halacha is completely silent, it can't hurt to follow Kabbalistic minhagim. That's basically the Mishnah Berurah's position. But Ashkenazi psak traditionally ignored Kabbalah in halacha. Svardi psak really didn't. Right? Sfardi Psak, when it came to the Zohar, Paskin like the Zohar against everybody. The Paskin even more so like the Ari against everybody. And the Ari, they would claim it wasn't just the Zohar, it wasn't just any new Kabbalah, it was that he was a Navi, he was got Gilui Eliyahu, and he was a Chacham, he had everything. In the middle, you had many Poskim who were less comfortable with that extreme position, and therefore they said, if Halacha can be interpreted in line with Kabbalah, or at least when Kabbalah B'chal doesn't contradict anything, and Halacha is completely silent, then you follow the Zohar, you follow the Ari. Rabbi Ovadia, responding to the Sfardi world, really moves in the direction of the Ashkenazim, against the Birkei Yosef, against the Chidah, against the Ben Ish Chai, and Paskins like the Ashkenazim, that Halacha is free of it. His basic rule is you Paskin like the Beis Yosef. And Beis Yosef had the middle position, that if Halacha doesn't contradict Kabbalah, so you follow it, and if there's a Machlokas, then the Zohar is allowed to be in a Machriya. They're often, and this is something we'll start talking about more next week when we get to Pesik HaLacha B'Sharat Chak, they're often counterfactors. Right? So even though the Rebbe Ovadia has this rule that we Paskin like the Beis Yosef, and that he wants all Svarim to Paskin the Beis Yosef, he also has a value to keeping a unified Svarim Minhag. And if he knows he's going to lose a battle, right? So sometimes he will be pushed to Paskin like the Kabbalah, explain how it's not really like Paskin like the Kabbalah, which he does here, right? The Ashkenazim Paskin, those in the Afkalach. But that's often what happens when you have counter values, that you will find a way of paskining a way you wouldn't normally to accomplish other values, and you will find justifications for it. Okay, we saw a few examples of Halacha and Kabbalah. Probably, in just a minute on each of those, probably the most famous is Tfilin Chol HaMoed. You should realize that it's not really a machlokas just in Kabbalah. It was a machlokas. The Gaonim said you do wear Tfilin, you don't wear Tfilin Chol HaMoed. The Rosh said you did. Minhag for many, many years was to paskin like the Rosh. Then, with the advent of the Zohar as a sort of a very powerful force in the Jewish community, it switched. And that's what the Beis Yosef already attests to, and a lot of people attest to. And now, at this point in Israel, everyone, right? Minhag of kimat the entire country is not to wear tefillin chol hamoed, minhag agra, minhag of a lot of people. At one level, this is a halacha and Kabbalah issue, and many people who really have a purist view of halacha and Kabbalah and do not allow the two to mix will wear tefillin chol hamoed. I have a relatively purist view. I still don't wear tefillin chol hamoed because this is one of those cases where, while it's true historically, it's been driven by the Kabbalah issue, right? If you go back earlier in history, it was a machlokas before the Kabbalah issue was at all an issue, and especially in Eretz Israel, the minhag is to follow that halacha. Hanosin leef koach, again. It is a Kabbalistic issue. The reason of the Svardim Paskin, that you should say it for the most part, is because of the Ari. But again, Ashkenazim Paskin, that we say in Nosan Leif Koach, not having to do with Kabbalah, having to do with the Gaonim. Whether we understand that they had the Gears in the Gemara there, it's a Takanas Gaonim. Right? But again, just because it is at one level, and in the Svardi world, was fundamentally a Machlokas about Halacha and Kabbalah, right? It's not in our world. Hashem Elokeichem Emes. Again, it's driven mostly by Kabbalah. It might even contradict the Gemara. Right? But there are other reasons for it. Right? It combines the bracha and emes v'yatziv, the kriya shema and emes v'yatziv, etc. If you want to look at more of the examples, because there are really a lot of examples, you'll note that a lot of cases of the examples is not as clear-cut as you would like to think that, oh, it was halacha being pushed by Kabbalah or it wasn't. But often there are other factors going on. While some people will bring the arguments based on the Kabbalah one way or the other, often other postmen will bring it for completely different reasons. That's something you have to watch out for. I put a few resources here at the end where you can look at. If you really want to read a lot, Jacob Katz's book is great. It's a book, Halacha v'Kabbalah. The last 150 pages in Benny Lau's book is Halacha and Kabbalah in the Sephardi world in Rav Ovadia. If you want a two-page summary of a lot of the issues, that's the third thing I put here, which is Ray Brody's summary of the Beis Yosef's issues, Halacha and Kabbalah. It's on the RCA's blog on Text and Textures. Okay, now just a few more words about Ovadia. We touched on some of them. Things you're going to hear over the next few days. And we touched on them, right? The pillars of Ovadia's Pesach. One is Lahachzir Atara Liashna. Is he wanted to create a pan-Sephardi culture. To do that, he wanted to bring everyone under the Pesach of the Beis Yosef. That got him a lot of flack, because as we saw, the minhag of the of the Ben Ish Chai and the Chida was to pass him like the Mikubalim, and this was a very strong force within the Sephardi world, and much of his the people who fought him, Rav Mordechai Eliyahu and in the Yitzchak Iranin, his name is Broda, I think, Rav Ovadia Hadaya, who was one of his Rebbeim, they fought him along these lines. So one of the things you're going to hear is the Hachzer Torah Liyashna, is him trying to bring everyone to Beis Yosef, and the pushback he got under the Sephardi, from the other Sephardim for trying to quash the Kabbalistic Minhagim. The other reason he wanted to do it was really because before Bovadia there was really Ashkenazi hegemony over the world of Psak, because the Sephardim were not, right, didn't have as well developed yeshivas, as well developed culture. Part of why he wanted to bring back this Sephardi culture was to combat sort of that Ashkenazi dominance, bring back Sephardi pride.
What was the name of the leading rabbi who was kind of opposed to Bovadia in this?
In Kabbalah? Probably his Rebbe, Rav Ovadia Hadaya, who was considered the one of the Zaken HaMekubalim.
And the other person you mentioned, Rav Eliyahu?
What? And Mordechai Eliyahu, more recently. Ovadia Hadaya was the original, but yeah, Mordechai Eliyahu. And you'll see a lot of it in Mordechai Eliyahu's stuff is arguing on this point. So you're going to hear a lot of that. Another thing you're going to hear a lot of is this Halacha and Kabbalah stuff, right? Is Ein Lanu Esek Ben Nistarot, right? Which that's basically what we've talked about today. The other things we didn't talk about, which you will hear about, are first of all his move back towards Kula, right? Kocha de Deir Adif, that's Rosh Shlomo's shir. One of the things Rav Ovadia did was he was not afraid to marshal his incredible knowledge of the Torah to find Kulos, right? And to use Kulos when he thought they were legitimate, often using very creative svekas, right? Combinations of positions, you know, rejected positions. Those are like the three pillars of Psak you're going to hear. The last thing you should keep in mind that he's going to talk about, this is Rav Amar's shir, is that his positions came to a fore in his tkufa as the chief rabbi and as a public figure. And the big things he was involved in that everyone knows him for were, first of all, that he was able to matir all the agunot in the Yom Kippur War, right? He was often matir a lot of mamzerim. He allowed the Ethiopians to marry in, right, by relying on the Radbaz. So the specific tshuvas where you see the expression of his kach teter adid is that. Some of his more famous stuff is also Chametz and Pesach stuff. He was very, very makel. So things to listen out for, again, tomorrow and Thursday are L'Hachzer HaTorah Liyashna, Ein Lanu Esek B'Nistarot. You'll hear arguments with Rav Ovadia Hadaya, with Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, etc., etc. You'll hear about the Mamzerim issue, the issue of the Ethiopians, Mamzerim, Agunot, etc., these are things to keep out for. It should be interesting. Time for Milch.